Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Good afternoon, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And you, as always. Yes. It's kind of become our thing, hasn't it?
Yes. And I want to apologize. A friend of mine pointed out, he was listening to the broadcast. He says, Ed, you know, you walked over some of Gary and I couldn't understand both of you. I said, I got to watch that.
Oh, you know, I kind of noticed that the other day, too. Not just me, but all of us, including mm-hmm. our listeners. You can't help it. They can't see that we're looking to talk. But yeah, we do.
I mean, it becomes more conversation than you got to think it's radio. But, you know, Tucker Carlson does it a lot on television, yeah. too. He does it horribly. So, yeah.
Well, you know who last night, I don't catch Laura Ingraham very often. I like to catch her, but she's too late for me. I'm an early go to bed mm-hmm. kind of guy, right? And she had Lawrence Kudlow on last night. And so I actually tweeted her. I'm like, let him talk, Laura. Love the show.
yeah.
She was interrupting him a lot. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. But yeah, we do, because you and I, it's like sitting at a kitchen table.
Yeah, I know exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. I did it again.
It's like us sitting at a kitchen table. And so we just start yippity-yapping away and mm-hmm. sometimes. So our apologies. I do it too. So we'll work on being
I will behave myself.
Me
oh,
too.
I just did it again. I'm sorry.
Exactly. All right. Well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com 7 days a week. It's
the news you need to know.
Yeah, I missed a line, didn't I?
No. I just didn't want to. I want to make sure you were done talking before I said anything.
No, it happens. So we've got a lot to talk about. We've got Congressman Tim coming at the end of the hour mm-hmm. or the bottom of the hour, so we can get to that. But let's take care of a little business. Borick Jennings Funeral Homes. None of us like to talk about passing, but it's going to happen to all of us. None of us get out of here alive, right? So. At
you
some
don't
point,
take anything with you.
Yeah, and you never know. So it always makes it very good idea to put a little forethought and planning into your ending so that mm-hmm. your family doesn't have to deal with it. Because the last thing you want when they're grieving for you and enjoying and reminiscing, they don't want to be bothered with the details of the payments and what needs to happen. So put a little planning into it, folks. It's pretty simple. Borick Jennings Funeral Home. They got offices in Hamburg, Howell, Manchester, and Brooklyn, Michigan. You can go to borickjennings.com. That's BorickJennings.com. Or you can reach them at 810-231-0200. That's 810-231-0200.
You want to make sure you plan ahead for the kind of burial service you want. Otherwise, you may end up in a cardboard box and you'll have no say in it.
But for me, I don't funeral, don't want it. Somebody buy a keg, come to the house. I want to be cremated. And you can put me in a shoebox. I'm fine with that. And then dump me out down the – I got a funny story, family story anyways, about down the highway and out the window, right? Let the dust fly. I'm good to go at that point because I'm gone. I don't care. I do hope there's some organs left. to share, and you know, I think I haven't checked that on my box, but if
my
anyone,
mom,
we all know Gary's an organ donor. If you want my stuff when I'm dead, you're more than welcome to have it.
It's on my driver's license.
I need to do that.
Well, it's important. My yeah. mom wanted to have her ashes scattered over the bayou, and when I went down to the funeral, I was with her husband, and he showed me where she was going to be buried on one side of his plot. And then on the other side was his first wife. And I said, what happened to the bayou? He says, I just couldn't bear to do that.
That's what she wanted.
Yeah, well.
It won't be a blue bayou. No.
I'm saying, anyway. make your plans, folks. You may not get what you thought you were.
Okay, well, tons of stuff to talk about. I guess we could start off with Cohen testimony, right?
Oh, the lying liar? Who was it lying to the liars in Congress?
Brett Fink liar comes to Congress. Yeah, let's be honest. You were convicted and admitted lying to Congress, so let's bring him back for another round,
yeah.
shall we?
Yeah. On the same day that President Trump's negotiating in Vietnam.
In Vietnam yeah. with North Korea.
Yes.
You want to talk about – I don't know who did what first there date-wise, but it's pretty pathetic for the Democrats to be doing. And he looked – you know, I always say he looks like an older, drunken Ben Affleck to me. I think I even tweeted that out once during the testimony. But there's not a whole lot there, right? Because let's face it, his opening comments, Derek, we got track one. Let's listen to his...
Yeah, there was no collusion. Thank you, sir. Was he lying then?
Or is he lying now?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, play it.
Questions have been raised about whether I know of direct evidence that Mr. Trump or his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not. And I want to be clear. But I have my suspicions. Sometime in the summer of 2017, I read all over the media that there had been a meeting in Trump Tower in June of 2016 involving Don Jr. and others from the campaign with Russians, including a representative of the Russian government, and an email setting up the meeting with the subject line, dirt on Hillary Clinton. Something clicked in my mind.
Yeah, so
this is where a lawyer would jump up and say, objection, Your Honor, hearsay. It's his suspicion. All the Democrats are suspicious. So what? That's why he's there and he can't give them any evidence and a story. Yeah.
Well, at that time, wasn't he still involved with Trump? So all he's saying is, I read in the media.
Yeah.
But you were part and parcel inside. You didn't hear anything from inside. You read it in the media about the meeting. You allegedly saw an email with a heading, and he hasn't produced it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or the, I lost it. Never mind.
And then one of the other Republican congressmen came out and said, blah, blah, blah. He pounced on that and said, what dates were those? Yeah, that was already out there long before, so thanks very much, but you're not telling us anything, basically.
Or I never wanted to be in the Trump administration. And then proven by, you know, video testimony, just hours later, he was lying to Congress again. You know?
So does he get another charge for lying this time?
They're trying to. They're submitting. Who was it? Somebody was Mark Meadows. Put it to the Justice Department for referral. because he lied to Congress again. Yes, it did happen the next day. Yep.
This guy is just dumb.
But Mark Meadows is a racist.
We're going to get into that. We got a whole bunch of tracks. And the only reason I really wanted to cover this so much is because it's our own Michigan congressperson, Rashida Tlaib.
Not our own. Somebody other, you know, Detroit's own. Yes.
It's Michigan's, right? Yes, and it's close to home here, and this radio station covers that area. And I want people in Detroit area and Downriver and Dearborn, wherever that district lies and all those areas, to think about what you voted in, whether you're a union guy, a Democrat, an old school Democrat, a new Democrat, an independent who for some reason doesn't like Trump and decided, yeah, I'm going to vote for this woman because she's a Democrat. This woman is anti-American, not particularly smart either, and yet you people put this hating, anti-Semitic,
foul-mouthed,
classless, and clueless person into the congressional seat representing Michigan.
Who doesn't even have a sense to give us a name that we can pronounce. Just change your name like other immigrants do, you know? Like, what's a name you can pronounce?
Tlaib. You say it three times. See what say it in the mirror three times with the candles in the dark. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no, you summon something weird.
I've watched too much
stuff.
South Park, I think, on that. There's nothing came out of the Cohen, you know. The liberal media went crazy on, oh, look, let's open up. Oh, and occasional Cortex was so good mentioning, we're now going to open up a whole slew of investigations on Trump's taxes and blah. I hope at some point Trump's going to go, all right, here you go. They're done with the audit.
Mm-hmm.
See what you find. Anything illegal? No. But, man, you made a lot of money. You didn't pay very much tax. Well, neither does Amazon. Or Mr. Bezos, or Warren Buffett, or Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or anyone else. They find their ways to not... The whole idea is not pay taxes, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want to give the government your money? I'd rather keep as much money as I can and give it to my own charities, or to the church, or to somebody in need. I'd give it to the guy down on the corner before I'd give it to the government.
We have one of our callers who told us he doesn't pay taxes, if you recall.
No names mentioned.
Yes.
But all right, so let's move on then, because we've got Congressman Tim coming on.
Well, this happened during the Cohen
investigation. Yes. Yeah. So let's start with track two, and it's Rashida Tlaib was angry. I'll set it up. Was angry that Mark Meadows had invited Lynn Patton, who works for HUD. She's a very distinguished, came out of the private sector,
Of the Trump organization.
Under the Trump organization.
Family friend.
Yeah, she's hardworking. She's African-American. She's worked her way up through the ranks. She's a highly educated, very well-spoken. And she showed up at this hearing because she was not happy that Cohen was leveling these statements of Trump being a racist.
Mm-hmm.
So, Derek, you got track two ready? Let's listen to that.
Yesterday during the hearing, freshman Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, she said by you standing there behind Mark Meadows, she was calling it racist because she was saying he was using you as a prop. Listen to this.
Just to make a note, Mr. Chairman, just because someone has a person of color, a black person working for them, does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that some would even say it's the fact that someone would actually use a prop, a black woman, in this chamber, in this committee, is alone racist in itself.
Are you a prop? Are you a token?
You know, what I'd like to ask the Congresswoman from Michigan is, you know, why does she take the word of a self-confessed perjurer and criminally convicted white man over a black female who's highly educated, rose up through the ranks of one of the most competitive companies in real estate, you spoke before 25 million people at the Republican National Convention, and now works in one of the most historic administrations in history. And so to me, that would be my question. That's more racist than being put up there as a quote-unquote prop.
Well, I have a couple comments on that, okay? Because I was listening to Rashida Tlaib this morning. Is it Rashida? I like Rashida. So if it was Rashida was saying that, hey, it's horrible to bring a prop, to use a person of color as a prop. I am a person of color. Now, what she just said was, I'm using myself as a prop. I'm here. I'm using myself as a demonstration.
Touché.
You know, that's one. And then to go on and say that just because you have a friend or you employ blacks doesn't make you a racist. You could also go on to say just because you have pictures of Spike Lee hugging on you and pictures of you getting awards from the NAACP and all the liberal contagion in New York City hanging all over you, multiple pictures of you, all kinds of black people giving you awards, that doesn't mean you're not a racist.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, what Lynn Patton responded with was perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're believing a white guy who's a liar, convicted liar, confessed liar, over me, a black person, who's worked their way up through the ranks, and yet you call me a prop, but he's the liar. So, Ms. Tlaib, whatever, you're always welcome to come to the show and defend yourself. Love to have you in here and try and have a normal discussion. I highly doubt we could.
No.
But I will be as friendly and nice as I can possibly be. But you need to explain yourself, as well as any of these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel comments that you've got going on. And please explain why you don't have the decorum. And it's that trifecta of, for me, the trifecta of stupidity is Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Occasional Cortex.
Mm-hmm.
Because the three of them are just out. It's like they're trying to set themselves up for a book write or a movie thing.
Who can be the most offensive?
Yeah.
And it's a contest.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, and it drives me insane. But you know what? That is what it is. And for her to say that about Mark Meadows, of all people, is absolutely insane.
Well, he has people of color in his family.
Bingo. So let's listen to Derek track. Let's jump down to track four, shall we? And this is Mark Meadows.
Mr. Meadows.
Mr. Chairman. There's nothing more personal to me than my relationship. My nieces and nephews are people of color. Not many people know that. You know that, Mr. Chairman. And to indicate that I asked someone who is a personal friend of the Trump family, who has worked for him, who knows this particular individual, that she's coming in to be a prop, it's racist to suggest that I ask her to come in here for that reason. Mr. President, the president's own person, she's a family member. She loves this family. She came in because she felt like the president of the United States was getting falsely accused. And Mr. Chairman, you and I have a personal relationship that's not based on color. And to even go down this direction is wrong, Mr. Chairman.
Now, that really surprised me. I didn't know that Mark Meadows considered Elijah Cummings a close personal friend.
Yeah.
That just... You know, that makes me wonder about Mark
Meadows. That actually gives me hope, because you know what? Most of the words I see coming out of the mouth of Elijah Cummings are just spewing utter nonsense. But it tells you that even in Washington, here's two guys who couldn't be politically more diverse, Mark Meadows and Elijah Cummings, and yet they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless both of them, that they can step back from their incredibly opposite. And when I look at some of those comments from Elijah Cummings over the years, I think, the guy is just an idiot. But he must be, on a personal level, a person of nice enough that, you know, Mark Meadows and him are friends.
A decent man?
I'm guessing.
Like Mike Pence? Oh, wait.
You can't say that.
I can't say that. That's right.
Yeah. Terrible, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I got 2 points. One, prop. It's surprising they didn't go so far as to say token Negro, which is kind of what they're implying, or Porch Negro, or Uncle Tom, which of course would be historically inaccurate since it was Democrats that were the plantation owners, and Democrats still consider themselves to be the Democrat plantation that blacks must remain on. And the second point is, I would have liked to have heard Mark Meadows say to leave after her ridiculous, that just because you have a black friend doesn't make you non-racist. Well, Rashida, do you have a Jewish friend like self-loathing Chuck Schumer? That doesn't make you any less anti-Semite and a Israel hater and a terrorist supporter, and drop the mic and walk out.
Yeah. Oh, good points, Joe. Great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got? Anything?
No, that was it. That was it. Thanks a lot. Take care. I love you guys.
Wait a minute. All right,
brother.
Wait a minute.
Love you too.
This guy's impersonating Joe.
Let's take a call from Mark in Hall. Wants to talk about how progressives are endangering American freedoms, which is kind of where I wanted to start at the beginning of the show. Mark, good call. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. The dissection of what the progressives' agenda is in this country takes away from their moralities, the Christian Judeo principles that this country was based on, and unless we uphold that as a people, we the people, we stand to lose that, do we not, gentlemen?
Yeah. Here's the way I kind of wanted to start the show, but we didn't, Mark, for whatever reason. You know, as parents, as grandparents, all of us need to take the time to talk to our children and our grandchildren and educate them about history itself. Because the school system is no longer doing it. The school system has become propagandized to such an extent that our young children today, our teens, our college kids, they actually believe that socialism works and that communism is okay and that it's perfectly fine to take from you who are successful and give to the person who may not have worked so hard, or even if it's a deserving person who maybe is handicapped. There's a difference between having a government safety social net to take care of those who can't, to take care of the weakest members of our society, versus communizing everything and bringing everyone down to a level instead of trying to get everyone to come up to a level. And I think you hit it right on the head, Mark. Progressivism is destroying society. It's destroying our freedoms. It's going to end up destroying that ability to want to work and to get ahead, right?
You are exactly right. And unless we withdraw our children from the tentacles of this progressivism, we fail to lose. So people, we are the people. Use your power. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great one.
I'd like to read something I wrote this week, okay? I'm kind of proud of it, actually. It's about the necessity of childhood vaccinations. But there's been a lot of discussion about childhood vaccinations, whether they should be forced or not. And there's people who are anti-vaxxers who are – and there's also people who are pro-vaccination. They want everybody to be vaxxed. Well, I'm telling you, I don't want to be forced. I have I want to be – I want to be healthy. I want everybody to be healthy. But there's maladies that can spread like wildfire through such a closely compacted environment, like a school, you know, that, well, that's because we're pushing all these kids together and the parents really can't take a day off of work when their kids are sick, so they send their kids to school. And you have all these things that the kids can catch at school, like socialism and progressivism, you know, and communism, and all these indoctrinations that the parents need to vaccinate their children against before they go to school. And they can vaccinate their kids before with something like Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And there's another one that says there'd be a good thing to give them regular exposure to would be when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people, connected them to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another. Give your kids the Constitution. Give your kids Bible verses because they're going to go in and they're going to get indoctrinated. You need to vaccinate these kids against what they're going to get in the schools.
Yeah,
or better yet, keep them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great point. I like the whatever we call it.
It was better
the parallel
in print because I didn't take all the time for development.
Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Yeah, you're absolutely right about the education department. It's become another branch of the Democrat Party, such as the media, which my point is this Miss Taleb, or whatever her name is, freshman who is still so wet behind the ears, has become the classical prop of the media. I mean, she's class A number one prop with the other two trifectas of stupidity. So, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. And I wish I'm going to keep beating this drum because, you know, the people of Wayne County-ish, I don't know what her district encompasses very much anymore because I'm not from Downriver or Wayne County area anymore. But people need to look at what you really voted in. An anti-Semite, a hater, a person who has, instead of being a congressman saying, I'm going to work with the Trump administration to try and get some grants and money and funding for Wayne County, Detroit area projects, she's out there spewing hate, talking impeachment, talking all kinds of nonsense, but she's not doing the job of trying to get money or projects for people back home here in Wayne County. That's really her job. Why don't you take a book, page out of the book of who did she replace? John Conyers.
Yes.
Yeah. Bring some money home. Work on that. That's your job. Help. Work with the administration to get some money instead of being an ugly, hateful person.
He managed to do that while being a communist.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Another aspect of this too is that they're all women. Therefore, they're another prop for the women's movement.
Yeah, it's a shame. I just wish people would take a better call. What else you got, Gary? Anything?
Well, there's so much out there, but no. Have a good day.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
You too. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, so we're almost at the bottom of the hour, and you want to plug The Current?
Sure. Hey, folks, you need to read The Current newspaper if it's in your coverage area. And it'd be nice if you were to actually call the advertisers and say, you know, I really don't need your services today, but I appreciate seeing you in The Current newspaper.
Yeah, they're supporting community news, conservative news, especially if you are conservative, because this is one of the only conservative publications in the state, frankly.
Yeah.
And so it's go to if you don't get it in your mailbox, you can certainly, and it goes out by U.S. mail, you can see it online. Anytime, all the old editions, CourantOnline.com, 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 and you can print off coupons or whatever you need to, or even the articles out of the newspaper.
My wife was in the credit union, I think it was yesterday, and she met a lady, and the subject came up. The lady says, you own The Current? I love that paper.
Isn't that a great?
I like hearing that.
That's a great feeling,
isn't
it? All right. Okay, well, that's the bottom of the hour. We'll see all of you on the other side of the break. This is The Drift.
always on the move, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep up with the latest in political talk? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels may take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues discussed by hosts like Steve Gruber, Theron X, and Dana Lash, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump taking a victory lap over the economy while addressing CPAC.
But everyone in this great country, right now, because of our great new economy, is doing well, except, of course, for the Never Trumpers. But they are on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
The president in National Harbor, Maryland. Bernie Sanders had the economy and the president in mind, too, at a campaign rally in Brooklyn, New York.
I know what it's like to be in a family that lives paycheck to paycheck. Now, it is true, I did not have a father who gave me millions of dollars to build luxury skyscrapers, casinos, and country clubs.
The Vermont senator is one of 10 Democrats seeking their party's nod for president. This is Fox News.
When you need a way to recognize the best, you need Stadium Trophy. From stadium plaques and medals to name badges and everything in between, Stadium Trophy will make your award a memorable keepsake. Stadium Trophy knows the value of showing appreciation. A pat on the back can go a long way, but a tangible gift to show your gratitude will inspire your team to greatness and create memories that will last a lifetime. Since 1977, Stadium Trophy has been a family-owned company producing elegant and fun awards. Clients include the University of Michigan and Eastern Michigan University, nonprofits, schools, corporations, and parents. Stadium Trophy prides themselves on providing top-quality products and friendly, helpful service. Stadium Trophy, Packard Road, Ypsilanti. Call them today to see what Stadium Trophy can create for you. 734-487-3366. That's 734-487-3366 or stadiumtrophy.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is Wellbridge. Wellbridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All Wellbridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend Wellbridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for Wellbridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, Wellbridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. Wellbridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. We don't have Congressman Tim on right now, so I'm not sure if he just kind of forgot or got waylaid somewhere.
Today's call-in Saturday, folks.
He's probably out ice fishing.
Yes.
Which, you know, be careful out there on the ice.
He called us once while he was on.
He did.
Remember that? Last year he was calling while he was ice fishing,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll call in. If not, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about. And as always, you can call in with whatever you want to talk about or anything from the drift or just whatever is on your mind. 734-822-1600. Love to hear from you.
Excuse me. And Joe, you can call back in.
All right. So here's something I did want to get to. So Bernie Sanders is running, and I want to talk about that. So before we do that, let's take care of a little business. It's tax time. It's coming. April will be here before you know it. So
for those of you who pay taxes.
For those, for the 50% who don't pay, yeah. Right? You don't have to worry about it, but the rest of us have to. 810-355-1552 is Leper Accounting, L-E-P-P-E-R, accounting.com. They've got offices in Ann Arbor and Pinckney, Michigan, and you can easily get hold of them, 810-355-1552, 810-355-1552. Don't put your taxes off to the last minute. It's stressful. Trust me, I've turned mine in already. I haven't gotten them back yet, but I'm not worried about it. Do your taxes and get your tax refund back. All right, well, let's hit that real quick. People are crying, oh, our tax refunds aren't as big as normal. That's because you got
you're
more in your paycheck.
Less taxes,
yes,
you know.
Yes, right?
So you get even more if we weren't paying a lot of your taxes to people who never paid taxes.
Yes.
People who are, you know, immigrants who don't pay and are filing and getting money back out of your wallet.
Right. Okay, so let's hit that Bernie Sanders real quick before I bring – I think that's Tim calling in right now. Bernie hired an illegal immigrant as his press secretary.
I didn't hear that.
Well, if this is Tim, we're going to ask Tim about this as well. So congressman for the Michigan's U.S. 7th District, Congressman Tim, how are you?
I am doing well, and no, I don't know who Bernie hired, but it wouldn't necessarily surprise me because do as I say, not as I do type activity takes place with some of these guys.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's
Tim,
crazy.
Can you answer an important question?
I'll try.
Are you ice fishing right now?
I am not ice fishing right now.
Okay.
I just got back from Johnson Sporting Goods, took my Ruger Red Label 12-gauge shotgun there to get some choke tubes. That's where I was at.
There you go. Out sportsmanlike, getting his stuff done.
Speaking of guns.
All right. So, Tim, let's start right there. The House passed some gun legislation, and I think I know where you stood on that. Do you want to start off with that?
Well, we certainly can. I think as I was talking with the guys in Johnson's there and Adrian, if people who believe in the Second Amendment, and that's what most of us are here in the United States still, we believe in the Second Amendment that gives us the right to keep and bear arms as a privilege of our freedom, and for the purposes of not simply hunting and target shooting, sporting clay, trap, skeet, all of that stuff, but also to defend ourselves. And in the day and age when it was put into place, it was also to defend ourselves against a runaway government, to make sure that American citizens were armed to the point, in that day, at least equally to the military.
Tim, can I interrupt you for a second? You said as a privilege, and my hackles curled, whatever it is.
I said it was a right and privilege.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was a right and privilege.
Okay.
And it is a privilege. The fact of the matter is to be an American citizen is a privilege that we have, and we shouldn't take it lightly. But we do have rights, inalienable rights, too, and we certainly can talk about what they're doing with children, infanticide that's taking place. But on the gun legislation, the majority of people truly believe that we have that right here. They would disagree sometimes on how easy it is and what regulations there are for getting guns, and I understand that. But when you look into it, you find out that the law-abiding citizens aren't the problems. The law-abiding citizens that have done their credentialing, their background checks, have registered their handguns, which many of us believe shouldn't be required of individual citizens who are law-abiding, but rather if they use their weapons wrongly, then we go after them tooth and tong and throw the book at them for that. But nonetheless, the law-abiding citizens aren't the problem. It's the criminal and occasionally a mentally ill person that goes off for whatever reason. We know that's the case. So let's address those concerns. But the Democrats, they think the better idea is literally to take guns away from people. They'll say, Congressman Wahlberg, that's not true. We don't want to do that. Well, prove that to me on the basis of what you're voting for just this last week. If the two bills that passed last week could get to the president, and I don't think the Senate will let that happen. But if it could, and the president signed it, which he wouldn't, but if he did, no longer could I loan my personal handgun to, let's say, a sister of mine, and I can say that because I don't have a sister, but let's say I loan it to my sister who has an abusive relationship that finally she's decided enough's enough, and she gets a personal protection restraining order on this individual. So she has that restraining order in hand. Now she wants to get a handgun. She decided, I'm going to at least have a gun with me. So she goes in and she understands she's at this point in time has a 3-day waiting period. But now this bill has passed, so now it's going to be a minimum of 10 days and most likely 20 days. So for those 10 days, she holds this paper up in front of herself just in case this guy who has abused her in the past, who has threatened great bodily harm or death, she holds it just in case he shows up at her door in violation of the protective restraining order, and this is going to save her? And if I were to say, sis, that's stupid, here's my gun. I know you aren't going to be able to get it, but this is a registered gun. I'm going to loan it to you so you can protect yourself until you get your license to get a gun. That would be a criminal offense under this legislation for me to loan it to my sister to protect herself.
Of which I would be guilty because my sister is going to get, if she likes guns, you know, the hypothetical sister who likes guns.
But I mean, this is what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about craziness that ultimately will not assist us in getting at the criminals, because that guy, if he wants to, he's coming after her anyway.
Yeah.
That individual who's going to go into the church and shoot it up is going to do it anyway. We have to make sure law-abiding citizens are protected.
But there's a law against that. There's a law against breaking a court protection order or going into a building and shooting people.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying. None of this stuff is going to prevent that from happening. So why take the ability to defend oneself away from the law-abiding citizen? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we have to get at.
And that's where the critical thinking skills of most Democrats are so far off base, because you know what? A law does not prevent crime. It only punishes crime, because you will never get a criminal who, by their very nature, don't follow the law.
Right.
We should only have criminals register their handguns. How's that?
That would work.
Okay. Up for that.
Okay. So you don't believe that this is going anywhere, Tim. It's going to either get stopped in the Senate, and it won't pass the Senate because they certainly probably don't have 51 votes, even if they did. And then, of course, we always have the fail-safe. The president certainly would not sign that bill.
Yeah, the president will not sign it. That's the good thing about it. And I don't think the Senate will pass it because there's a majority of members of the Senate who are firm Second Amendment supporters. I was really disappointed to see one of these bills supported by Representative Thompson from California, who's a great shooter. We shoot together every year at the congressional shootout, and he's one of the top Democrat shooters. There's about two of those guys anymore, but he's one of those that shoots well. And I would have thought, except for political pandering, that he would never think of introducing one of those bills that passed. But I think that's why they used him, and for whatever reason, he pushed it. So you can never fully count on the fact that we have enough Second Amendment, constitutionally minded individuals in Congress to not take everything seriously. And this tells us that in this next election, we've got to turn back the majority in the House to the Republicans. We have to. We have to unite to a point to do that. Because we've seen what it can mean to have AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Representative Omar,
your
and others
colleagues.
Like them come in and espouse the stuff that is producing craziness at this time in our country that recognizes nothing about the liberty, the freedom, and the opportunity that this country has in its tradition, in its foundations. And then if you see that take place in the Senate as well, all you have is a president, and if we lose the president next year, and we've got one of these people that are running around the country right now talking of a Green New Deal and doing away with the Second Amendment liberties and killing babies after they're born from a botched abortion, and my gracious, do we really recognize what could take place so rapidly? We've seen enough right now where a House would never have passed those pieces of legislation just last year. This year, as a result of the election that overturned the majority in the House because some people in the suburbs thought they were smarter than Donald Trump, and so they were going to prove that they didn't like Trump, so they're going to vote against people like Mike Bishop,
mm-hmm.
just to put their sharp stick in Trump's eye and see what we got.
Yeah,
or those who wouldn't bring themselves to vote.
Yeah. So Tim, let me ask you. So a guy like Thompson, who probably in his own heart really kind of believes in the Second Amendment, how much do you think he might have been cowed by people like AOC, who said, we're taking names of all you moderate Democrats who side with Republicans? You think that would have maybe had some effect on why he voted for this, even though you wouldn't think he normally would?
Yeah, I'd like to think that that was probably the case. Not that he's changing or never was a Second Amendment supporter, even though he likes to shoot and he shoots well. He shoots well. And I think, belongs to a shooting club back in California. But for some reason, he thinks that this, whether it's the fact that he's got all his guns and handguns aren't that big of interest to him, I don't know. But there is a extreme pressure coming from the new members on the Democrat side. Many of them are young people who have been trained that it's all about me. So if it's all about me, then who cares about the Constitution?
Yeah.
And who cares about common sense of some of the older people who have been through life, like myself, and understand that the Constitution is the only thing that stands between us and the craziness that we see in Venezuela or other parts of the world,
yeah.
None of which are as good as the United States. And so, yeah, I would think there are senior members in the Democrat side who are hoping that they have opportunity for chairmanships, hoping they have opportunity maybe for leadership positions, and if they don't incur the wrath of an AOC who's taking names and putting it down for future reference, that they will have a better time continuing in Congress. And these are people that shouldn't fear at all being reelected. But I think it's in inside game politics in Washington that's causing some of these people to vote that way. So
yeah. So maybe the upside, Tim, is, folks, you see the writing on the wall, what the Democrats want to do. Go out and buy your guns and ammo now. Stock up. Let's get the industry for gun industry a few more billion dollars in sales.
There has been a slump since Obama left office.
Well, last week may bump it up again, and we'll see. Yeah. There was a whole passel of people in the gun shop that I just came from today. Of course, Saturdays are pretty strong there anyway. But maybe they'll bump it up again because you're right. So what took place these last 2 years with Obama and the majority being Republicans in the House and Senate, people probably felt pretty safe about being able to get ammo and seeing the prices go down and all of the rest. And I'm not here to espouse fear, but I also am here to say, folks, we need to wake up. It's not just guns. It's all sorts of other issues that are also being impacted by a majority that does not understand America and its foundational principles and documents the way that that it needs to be understood. That's provided us freedom and opportunity for everyone. It's allowed religious freedom or non-religious freedom in this country. You could go either way, but you had freedom to make that choice. You had freedom to have your guns and participate in the sporting issues that you wanted or just protect yourself.
That's right.
We had all of that. But that's changing, and when you get to the fact of now we're countenancing actually killing babies outside of the womb, that's unheard of. And I think that's starting to turn people back, not just the CPAC people and others, but it's turning people, young people especially, back to say, wait a second, this is a step too far, and maybe we ought to look at the other principles that the other side is espousing and decide whether we can keep supporting liberals and so-called progressives, which I call regressives, supporting them because it feels good. We need something more than feelings. We need something we can push back that stands hard and firm, and our Constitution is that very thing.
You know, you mentioned the abortion industry. You mentioned the bill that was defeated that would have required a doctor to attend to the baby he had just tried to kill. There is kind of a conflict there, and I think that's why they couldn't vote for that, because they realize this doctor, How did that baby get in the position where he has to try and resuscitate it? Because he just tried to kill it. Well, you know, it exposes what they're trying to do to babies.
You know, what the bill actually said simply, and you're right in making that reference, insinuation, but what it said, all it said, and it wasn't defeated, it wasn't allowed to come up for consideration with the 60-vote cloture requirement.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get 60. But what only thing it said, we have the same bill in the House, Ann Wagner's bill that I've co-sponsored, and we're trying to get that up in the House as well. But all it said was if the baby that is a result of a botched abortion is born alive, then you treat that baby in the hospital the same way we treat any other newborn. That's all it said.
But that's insisting that the doctor have hospital privileges, and we can't even seem to get that through in Texas, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, the bottom line is a nurse, an attending physician, an EMT, whoever was in the room, just do what you would normally do with a baby born alive.
Instead of sticking in a closet.
Okay. So let me talk to another one that's really bothering me, Tim. How about the Climate Change Education Act?
Well, I tell you, it will probably get through the House, or at least through House Education Committee, in which I sit. We will debate it long and hard. We will fight it. And we will fight it on the issue. All we want people to understand in their courses of study in high school, elementary education, is true science. Teach them science. Teach them that we're to be good stewards of the resources. We do the best we can to clean up any dirtiness that's out there. But beyond that, let's not do change agentry in people and try to get people to simply accept something that isn't fully proven in any way, shape, or form.
So,
is there climate change? Sure, there's climate change. We've seen that take place.
Which way?
Cycles.
It's claiming it's changing. It's been changing for 4 billion years.
But which way?
Well,
is it getting warmer or colder? I can't.
Right now, it's getting colder. What worries me about the Climate Change Education Act is that they're going to provide money. Is what they want to do. Tim, correct me if I'm wrong. For K-12 students to ensure that students graduate from high school with high climate literacy.
Right.
And
what about English literacy for once?
Let's start with English literacy. What I don't like, this smacks of propaganda. You're going to propagandize our kids. Our kids already, my kid comes home all the time saying, the teacher told us we're destroying the climate. No, hello, we are not. Not in this country, because it's cleaner now than it was in the 70s, I can tell you that.
Tim is fighting this legislation. That puts him clearly on the record of wanting us all to die in 12 years. Is that right, Tim?
No, I will not accept that.
Okay.
We're going to be around in 12 years unless we get hit by an autonomous vehicle. Or
yeah.
But we're going to be around 12 years. This country, and the most recent studies have come out, the actual science studies that have come out, say that if we were to go to 100% renewable fuels, as opposed to natural gas and coal and oil and the rest of it, just go to wind and solar, we would still only change climate change and CO2 emissions by less than a hundredth of a percentage, as I recollect reading the report, less than a hundredth of a percentage point. And if we did it in the entire world, it still would be less than half a percentage point of change on CO2 around the world.
And we'd all starve to death and freeze in the winter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the stuff that has to get out. That the minute change by going whole hog without full science and understanding that let's keep moving, let's keep getting better, sure, but let's also make sure we still put humans first to have a good, sound economic condition, to be able to provide for themselves, to be able to continue to grow in their economic status, to feed the world and all of the rest, and we can do that. And that's why this type of education requirement is going to encourage more families to put their children in some other setting as opposed to a government school that is going to be forced to teach that if that type of legislation went through. And frankly, right now, I don't think it will pass.
Yeah. Well, that's good. All right. So then the last thing, how about status on the national emergency declaration in the House? The Democrat House went ahead and passed the resolution, did they not?
They did. They did, and it appears that we'll have four Republicans that will vote with the Democrats to send that bill to the president, and thankfully he will veto it, and then there will not be two-thirds in each House to override his veto. But
he'll be colluding with himself.
You and I have talked about this before. We've talked about the fact that I'd much rather not have the president do an emergency order and have Congress to do what we should have done and what the House attempted to do several times last term and passed a full funding of the wall and border security and immigration reform, etc. We passed it, and it didn't get through the Senate because of Chuck Schumer. The same people that are decrying right now what the president is doing on an emergency order are the same people that wouldn't let the legislation go through last time or this time in the form that it needed to be. The president is not just pulling $7.5 million out of the hat. He's pulled it out from asking the people on the border who are responsible for defending our border, the Border and Customs Patrol agents, and also the ICE agents and the Homeland Security people. They've given the numbers. They've told them what they needed as far as barriers, as far as human intelligence, human boots on the ground, electronic surveillance, border courts, magistrates, all of those things, and housing for asylum seekers. That's what they're the ones that have given him the information. This wasn't pulled out of the hat. And so the president said, if that's what's needed for me to defend my country and do the job that's expected of me as a president, duly elected, I might add, then I'm going to have to do an emergency order. And I think the emergency order also expresses to the American people that we're not kidding. This is a problem. This is an emergency situation taking place. When you have colleagues of mine go down to the border as recently as last week and sit with the border and customs agents and see over 100 people every night collected trying to cross a border where there is no fence, there is no gate, there is no electronic surveillance, and they've been caught by a drone flying over top, and they catch them in America, over 100 people every night. That is, I think, an emergency. That's an invasion that's taking place.
Yeah, because how many aren't caught?
Yeah, right? And all the drone does is validate their right to be processed as sanctuary people.
Right.
Yeah, let's get them stopped. What do you say to a guy like Justin Amash, Tim, when he votes with the Democrats on this?
I don't say anything. He makes up his own mind.
I find this guy all the time just seeming to, and then he likes to hide behind the Constitution. I don't know how he keeps getting reelected.
Look
on
up
the other
Loose
side
Cannon.
Of the state.
Look up well, Loose Cannon in the dictionary. There's his picture.
All I can say is that I hide behind the Constitution as well. I stand behind it. I try to defend it, and I believe every vote I've taken is constitutional. So there's a disconnect there somewhere, but I'm going to keep doing my job.
All right, Tim. Well thank you so much for that. And as always, let us know if something comes up. You're always welcome to call in anytime.
I appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Great rest of the day to you too, Gary.
And you, Ed. All right. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. See you later.